This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy.com special edition podcast for 30 Days of 90. iFanboy, we got a special podcast for the movie release of 30 Days of Night, which of course was a comic book, so they made me go see it. I'm Josh, I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And somewhere far away is Connor.
Hello.
we're pushing through technical difficulties to get Connor on the podcast, so
yeah.
Thankful. For some reason, he was just sitting around. All of a sudden, all the power went out in his building. You know, and then the generator went out, and then the lights went out.
I hope there are no vampires.
Yeah, exactly.
How ironic. I'm too young to die.
All right, so just
to warn everybody, we're going to be talking about the 30 Days of Night comic book as well as the movie that recently came out, and we're going to be talking about what happens in it. So if you haven't read the comic or haven't watched the movie and you want to and don't want it spoiled, I'd advise you to pause this and go do that first.
There's really only one thing in the movie that we can spoil.
There's a couple of things, but anyway. So just a quick refresher, 30 Days of Night was a comic book by Steve Niles, written by Steve Niles, drawn by Ben Templesmith, who's currently doing Fell. It was published by IDW, what was it, like 3-4 years ago?
I think
it was more than that. I have it right here. Unfortunately, in the dark, I can't read the year.
It's still light out, I want to add.
Not where I am, 2003, so 4 years ago.
You're in Brooklyn!
So 4 years ago it came out, and some have said it revitalized the horror genre in comics.
It did.
Yeah, it did. It was a huge hit.
At least into the mainstream, because there's always been the horror readers.
Yeah, exactly. And it's actually kind of funny, because thinking about this, I don't think we've ever really talked about that comic or ever really gave it any kind of attention on our show.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, so Connor, you read it. I read it. Josh, have you read the comic before? Or?
No.
Okay, so you went into the movie never reading the comic.
That's correct.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So the concept of the comic is that there's a small town in Alaska, the northern...
Barrow.
What?
Barrow.
Barrow, it's called, yes. I thought you were saying no.
I thought he was saying hello. I thought we'd lost it.
So a small town in Alaska, Barrow, Alaska, the northernmost part of Alaska, where every year the sun goes down and it doesn't come up for another 30 days. For a whole month, due to the Earth's rotation and the sun and blah, blah, science.
The science.
Insert science here. And so the concept is that what if vampires came to this town and just had a feeding frenzy that whole month?
And that's about it.
It's a brilliant concept.
Brilliant concept. Unfortunately, personally, the best way I can describe the comic book is that it's a great concept.
Yeah. Well, I was telling
you. The comic book was really light on plot.
Well, it wasn't, no, I thought it was pretty depth on plot in terms of establishing characters and establishing setting. It just wrapped up like that.
Well, there's nothing plot. And what I mean, line of plot means nothing really happened.
Yeah, exactly. Like what happened?
Vampires came, ate people.
Yeah, like, what they did was they established who the people of the town were. They brought the vampires in. They had the conflict of the vampires, you know, kind of taking over. And then they just fast-forwarded to the end of the month when the people fought back. And, you know, and it, for me, it left me really flat. Like, I remember reading the comic and, like, getting to the end and thinking, like, that's it? Is this volume one? Like, what, like...
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to Connor about this very thing last night, is that when it came out, like, it was, you know, all the rage, like, oh, wow, what a great idea, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized that I had never heard anything about whether it was any good or not, so I just didn't bother following up. Like, no, like, I never heard from anywhere that it was like, oh, you need to read this because it's great. It was just like, isn't that a cool idea?
Well, that's entirely true. I mean, there was, now that I think about it, the reason why I bought it was because there was so much hype in it. It was hyped up in Wizards, it was hyped up on the websites as being like this fantastic new revitalization of the horror genre. And,
right. And
there was a lot of talk about how it was the best horror book of the year. I mean, there was talk about it being a good book, but the more was talked about was the concept. But there was some talk about it, which is why I bought it.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like I said, I think it's a genius concept, and don't get me wrong, the art is beautiful. I mean, it kind of set up Ben Temple Smith as a big name to watch and all that kind of stuff. But the art is great. I love the art. For me, just the story fell a little flat.
Yeah. So let's go to the movie.
Yeah. So going into the movie,
Do you even know who did this movie? I don't even know who the director is.
I want to say David Slade or something like that.
I'll
look it up. Yeah.
Josh Hartnett is the main guy. John Huston, I think, is the main vampire.
Was that John Huston?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think John. Definitely. He's definitely one of the Hustons.
Wow.
And that's about it, really, in terms of character. The plot of the movie is very similar to the plot of the book in that here's the town, the vampires come, 30 days later, it's over.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
There's not a lot going on.
David Slade directed it. Josh Hartnett as the main character, Eben. Melissa George as Eben's wife, Stella. And Danny Huston as Marlo.
Danny Huston, I'm sorry, Danny. Yeah. Danny's probably dead.
John Huston, the director?
No, yeah. John
Huston. Yeah, that's Danny's father.
John Huston. That'd be awesome. I thought... my initial walking out of it, my first comment actually to Connor was... 30 Days a Night? More like 30 Days a Shite.
You could write headlines.
Yeah. Or not.
No, I mean, the thing is that I thought the movie, I thought it was okay. I thought it was very much the movie I would expect from the comic in that there wasn't a big payoff. Like,
right.
You know, I'm actually honestly surprised that they milked 2 hours out of it.
Yeah, it was a little long in parts.
Far too long. Far, far too long.
It was cut a half an hour out of the middle.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because in the comic, nothing happens.
Yeah.
So like, it's you know nothing. You know they invented stuff to happen, which I understand they got to get conflict and stuff like that. But they did it for the sake of doing it. I think.
I want to preface all my comments with that I'm not a horror fan. That's probably the other reason I didn't pick up the book. I don't like horror movies.
Well, that's the thing. Neither do I too. Right. I mean, I don't like horror. I don't like blood. I don't like all that kind of
stuff.
So
I think that if you were a horror fan, you might like this.
Yeah,
I guess I don't see. I don't want to say it's a bad movie because I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was good, and it just sort of was. I do think that one thing I think the pacing was greatly off because what happens is it's called 30 Days of Night. Okay, it's 30 days. The first half of the movie is basically the first day.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, this is sort of what you're saying is all of a sudden you've skipped to. You know, it's 20 days later.
Day 7, then day 18.
What happened in that? And then it's the last day, and you're like, well. I mean, like they'd sort of go in, but I mean, I would think that if I'm writing this, this is like armchair quarterback of it, but you know, Kirkman makes The Walking Dead work because it's about the people. Like to me, the interesting thing would have been how do they survive in the house with no light and no food
and
like the person.
That was when I read the book and when I saw the movie. In the book, it's even more jarring. Mm-hmm. For some reason, because it's like the vampires come, they're mastering the town. Cut to 2 weeks later, and there's a bunch of people living in, like, I think it's a basement in the book.
Yeah, it's a basement.
But it's like,
yeah.
How did they get there? How did they survive? How did the vampires not find them? It's not a big town. Like, that's never explained how this army of vampires doesn't find these people.
Right.
It's a little more explained in the movie because they pick a boarded-up house that looks like it's empty already. Mm-hmm.
They pick a boarded-up house, and they're hiding in the attic that's well-concealed, a la Anne Frank. But, like, they added that, like, justification as to why the vampires didn't find them.
Well,
know?
Actually, you...
Right, which was more sense in the movie, but in the books it makes no sense.
Yeah.
In an Arctic area, if the ground has got permafrost, then they wouldn't have a basement. So it makes more sense.
Yeah, that's
to
actually
have them.
That's actually a very good point, because I did notice all the houses seems to be built. They like you could slide over the houses
raised
and
up.
Hide under them. Yeah, exactly. That's
so they did a
point.
Little more research for the movie than they did for the book. So that was good.
Yeah,
that was good.
Fascinating.
I will say my feelings are similar to Josh's. I'm more of a horror fan. I'm not like a horror person, but I will go to horror films and usually enjoy them. I haven't really been since the whole Saw craze brought in the ultra horror.
Yeah, the
you know,
the
movement. I haven't really been to any of those movies, but I liked parts of it. I thought a lot of it was really hokey, but I didn't feel like I'd wasted my time like I did with Ghost Rider or movies like that. Like I didn't feel like it was an all right time.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think it was a complete waste of time like Ghost Rider. I think it was Ben Templesmith's art is a very difficult art style to kind of translate to film, much like Frank Miller's was with 300 and stuff like that. I think that they did it without trying to overdo it. You know, like they kept the vampire character designs, the teeth and stuff like that. And I feel like a lot of the movement was inspired by Templesmith's, you know, kind of movement. So I thought that was good. I think it just always boils down to story. And like what was really interesting is that there were two major changes to the movie from the comic that kind of irked me. The first one is the fact that the main character, Eben, and his wife are in the book. They're both sheriffs and deputies in the police department. They're together and they're happy and everything's fine. In the movie, for some reason, it starts off she's a fire marshal and they're separated.
Yeah.
And I feel like
it didn't really add anything to the movie except to add sort of cheesy reconciliation in the middle of the vampire attack.
Exactly.
A little so,
which didn't serve. It didn't serve the stakes any. I mean, if he's mad in love with his wife, you're going to be just as worried about her surviving as if willing to get back together.
Now, I do have to say that I was afraid that because of that change, that they were going to change the ultimate ending of what happens to Eben and how he kind of he saves the town. But I was glad to see that they didn't change that. You know, because if they change that...
I know, so that ending sort of caught Josh by surprise.
Yeah, totally.
No,
I thought
that was a good choice, because I didn't expect that to happen. At that point, I was thinking, wow, they're effed.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was really good. I will say that the little sort of mini-climax before that, when the burly out-of-towner dude, big Hager
the
guy... Yeah, whatever. His ending was so anticlimactic.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like it was such a waste. Like basically he's like, I'll take care of it, and he goes to make the big sacrifice. He's driving his giant rig and there's vampires are all following him, and then he drives into a building and I was like, why did he do that?
Yeah.
And then he's gonna blow them all up, but then he blew up two of them and I was like, what was the point?
And he was taken out
and
a bunch of them.
And he didn't even die, and I don't think the ones he blew up even died.
Right, and then he pops out and he's standing over the dynamite when it explodes, he pops out, he's a little sooty.
I will say this. I really liked the look of it because it's not often to see a movie set in small town Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like that, yeah.
And for some reason, I enjoyed that it wasn't like another movie set in New York or L.A. or wherever most movies are set. You know, it was nice to at least be in an environment that was unusual.
I agree.
In that sense, I like that.
And I like how that informed the characters, too, a little bit. Like, we live here. There's a reason we live here. I mean, all that stuff's a little hokey, but that's just horror movie conceits or whatever. But no, I think you're totally right.
But so then the other bit that they left out for the comic was that in the comic there was a conflict amongst the vampires, is that the vampire who gets the idea to come to Barrow, and he brings a bunch of vampires, and that's when they take over the town, and then like a week into the 30 days, they're like the vampire leader comes and is like, you idiot, what are you doing? You're exposing us. We spent hundreds of years making them think that we don't exist, and now and that's why they burned the town, all that kind of stuff. I thought that conflict within the vampire sect was going to be the bulk of the middle of the movie, and that's what that was one of my favorite parts of the comic.
I would have loved to see something about the vampires.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, like, and
there's a lot more.
Well, there was.
You might want to read the book. There's a lot more of that in the book.
Yeah, there's a lot more vampire. And the thing is, there's also a overarching decision to make the vampires talk whatever language they were talking. And I thought that really took it was creepy as hell, but it took away from the vampires themselves. In the book, they talk English and they bicker amongst themselves, and they talk and they strategize, and you really see into the world of the vampire, which I thought was great. And I was like, this is really missing that.
I'll tell you something that this was missing, and this is a horror movie thing, I think, is that they never set up the rules for the vampires. Like, a lot of time, like going into a movie, you need to know. And even if the protagonists don't know the rules, like the audience kind of does, like we didn't know where they were from, what they were doing.
What can kill a vampire?
Yeah, right. I mean, like,
well,
and
I think a part of it. Well, they address that in a part of it because they, when there was a moment when they're going to move locations. They need distraction. So Josh Hartnett's character goes to where somebody's growing pot and has like ultraviolet lamps, and they're saying, we'll shine the lamps on them. That'll be like sunlight, and that will kill them. And somebody's like, we don't even know if they are vampires. We don't know if that's going to work. Mm-hmm. And like I think there's a realistic aspect of like vampires don't exist, yeah. So of course they can't be vampires. So that's why we can't see into their world. You know what I mean?
No, I know that, but I think it's just like a conceit. Like you kind of need to know the rules of what we're working with.
Yeah, no,
we never found out either.
Because I think that was meant to play into the suspense aspect.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Why? Like, why did they used to be in a German techno band, and why are they attacking now?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and that's what they took away from taking away the inner bickering of the vampires themselves.
You could have easily lost, 20 minutes in the middle of the humans,
yep.
Which was a lot of it was really repetitive.
Yep.
To focus more on the vampires. Somewhat interesting.
That was a real miss. I think that was. But I gotta say though, this Houston guy, the main vampire, mm-hmm. I never tired of watching him walk through the town, looking completely confused with his mouth agape. his standard look. It was like it's like I know he's supposed to be the badass leader and stuff like that. For me, I'm like he looks lost. He looks like he doesn't know what's going to be around the next corner.
A couple of times where they were focusing on like one vampire walking around and they were trying to move like serpentinely.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it looks like a bad acting exercise a lot of times. Maybe just back off that a little bit. I think. But again, I don't know anything about those characters, so
I did like the violence aspect of. It was somewhat realistic.
It
wasn't too over the top. When they cut people with axes, their heads didn't just get lopped off. They had to do it three or four times, which I understand is what has to happen. I liked the whole massacre in the middle where there's guys running around with shotguns trying to shoot off vampires. I thought that was handled somewhat realistically.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked good, and it was also sort of matched. There was a long overhead tracking shot where I thought that looked... I thought, well, technically speaking, it was a good-looking movie.
Scenes were a little close up at times, and it actually was a little jarring.
Well, the fighting scenes,
which is kind of... Which is, like, it works for some things, but I thought it was like they were taking that hyper-moving thing a little too... And I was like, okay, I can't look at this anymore, but I might be old.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there was one action scene that was really hyper moving, and that really got to me. But other than that, I was okay with it. So,
yeah, I was also impressed that he had the little girl vampire.
That was good.
I thought they were gonna chicken out on, but they actually did it, which was
that was freaky.
I always like when they
so I mean
go out on a limb and kill a little kid.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're in agreement that, I mean, it looked really good, although I gotta say, I could never live in that town because I couldn't take 2 hours of the darkness, much less 30 days, Jesus. And I like that aspect of, like, people were leaving the town because they can't take the 30 days of darkness. Like, I thought that was a cool aspect. But, yeah, but I think it looked really good. I think it was shot really well. I think it was, there was tension. I was scared. There was blood, stuff like that. It was good. I'm not really into horror movies, but I think ultimately the problems with the story in the comics still persisted in the movie, so, which I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, it was a relatively faithful adaptation taking out the vampire stuff, and also that weird subplot in the book about the people trying to prove the vampires existed, which didn't serve any point in the story whatsoever.
Yeah, and like the vampire hunter person with the helicopter, that whole thing, yeah. But yeah, I know I shouldn't, be surprised or care about the change in the relationship between Eben and Stella, but for some reason that just ticked me off from the get-go.
No, it didn't serve any purpose to have her be the fire marshal, which usually you think, okay, they're changing her job, which means her job is going to be important somehow.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
There's a reason to make her fire marshal, portion of being a fire marshal will help them survive. But it didn't, and it was arbitrary. She could have easily just have been a deputy.
Yep, yeah.
And having them be estranged didn't serve any purpose to make it.
Let me ask you this. Did you feel that the movie suffered from like the complete lack of any humor or any lightness?
No.
Okay. I mean, it was odd. I don't remember. I don't see movies a lot that have just nothing. Like there was nothing.
I don't think there was anything to laugh about in this movie. It's funny because that's a really good observation, actually, Josh. Because so many movies that we see and so many stuff like Shaun of the Dead that was comedy / zombie flick or whatever. But like a lot of them do have a bit of horror. I mean, a bit of comedy to them. But like it's kind of it almost taints viewing, and that there are movies that are just straight out horror and straight out drama.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see a lot of those horror films like Unrelenting. you know, dourness.
I mean, I don't know, because, like, suppose, just for example, that you're stuck in that basement or the attic forever, you know, like, they're there for weeks. You know, at some point, somebody's going to go nutty or get oversleepy and crack the tension just at least a little bit here and there, and you can use that to lead to greater tension just sometimes.
I think sometimes comedy is a crutch and is something that is a way to, like you said, to break that tension, but,
yeah.
Like, I think they were playing up the realism angle of it, and, honestly, I think that among the three of us, we tend to joke around a lot and stuff like that. Put me in that situation, I don't think I'm cracking jokes. I'm dead already.
And then you're getting mad at me.
Yeah, I'm dead already. And then
we're tossing you out to the street.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you wouldn't last 2 weeks. I mean, 2 days, Josh. We'd probably be like, here, take him.
How was your theater going experience, Ron? Because Josh Mass was very interesting.
Oh, mine was fine. I went in the middle of the afternoon on Long Island, and there was nobody in the theater, so I had no complaints.
Yeah, first of all, we had a whole group of little kids.
Yeah, nice.
Which makes sense. I think you're scarring them for life, taking them to this movie.
Yeah.
Nice. And then three or four seats down from Josh, we had the couple. One of them must not have been able to read because the woman was reading the subtitles to him quite loudly.
Awesome.
In Spanish.
Oh, even better.
No, she wasn't translating the people what they were talking, so I guess he couldn't read English. And then 20 minutes before the end of the movie, they left.
Yeah, they left right. They
which
left
really,
right.
Which pissed me off even more.
Yeah.
They get to the Utilidor, which is the weirdest sounding building name ever.
Yeah, that irked me. But as soon as they got there, the Utilidor. As soon as they got there, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
As soon as I saw that toothy thing at the beginning, I was like, ooh, that's going to matter. And it didn't. They didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah, although I knew that when they as soon as they showed that, somebody was going to get thrown in there.
No, I know that, but I thought that, like, when they show it that early, you think that that's going to be the climax of some way. That's going to be used. Like, that's a key.
Well, it's somewhat was. I mean, that's how they killed the – that's basically where the whole – you know, he got blood.
That's where they killed the Matt Pinfield vampire, and then where Cat Stevens got his arm ripped off.
this joke will get – 5 people get this joke, but I enjoyed the Jay Adelson vampire.
Yeah, I did too.
I kind of got that, but not really. You know, it's funny is that were you like freaked out or scared by this? I wasn't like startled very often. I wasn't very scary.
Well,
there was a couple of startling parts, but the standard, like, you know, the monster jumps out, but it wasn't like. Having read the book, I kind of knew.
Yeah.
About halfway through, it seemed like they were keeping very close. They kept pretty close. The stuff they took out, but the actual main plot line was relatively close. I kind of knew how it was going.
Yeah. So I just think it could have used a couple more horror movie scares.
Yeah.
That doesn't change the plot or anything. It's just like bring the camera in real close and then hit a music
stick. It's almost less of a traditional horror film than it is sort of like it's almost like an action movie with horror.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's like more like the town was being invaded and they were all being killed, but it wasn't like there was monsters lurking in the darkness.
Yeah, I thought they did the beginning with the not seeing the vampires really well. I thought that once we finally saw the vampires, I thought that was a good enough payoff. So,
Anyway, I would say go watch Blade.
I still haven't seen Blade, and I still have no desire to. So.
Yeah, I turned Blade off in the middle. I can't watch Blade. But I think if you like the book, you like the movie. I think if you like horror, you'll probably like this movie.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm sure
horror or the book, probably not into the movie.
I'm sure there's a huge population of people who are going to love this movie. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the number one movie this weekend. I'm sure that, you know, the fans of the book should be satisfied by it. I don't think there's anything that's wholly dissatisfying. If anything, it's just like, oh, I wish there was a little more. You know, at the same time,
and hopefully.
Same time, I wanted a little more and a little less, which is ironic.
Hopefully, this movie allows Ben Teltzman to draw 2 issues a fellow year.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, so that was our views of 30 Days a Night, and thank you, Josh, for sucking it up and going to see it. We know, you know, Connor.
It wasn't so bad, was it, Josh?
It was just nothing. I would have rather watched my TiVo.
You don't even have TiVo.
Whatever, DVR. I'm really looking forward to seeing a good comic book movie because I feel like it's been a while since there's been one that's been really good.
I have no idea what's
next. We're looking at Iron Man and Dark Knight, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like every time we do these, I'm like, this was a shitty movie. And, like, that's not true, but we weren't doing them when they were really good.
Yeah, no, we didn't. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so.
No. I mean, like, I wanted, like, I wish we'd done one for Hellboy now.
And you poo-pooed it when it came out.
I don't believe we had a show then.
No, I don't think we did either.
And I did go see it in the theater. And I liked it.
All right. Well, so it's 30 Days a Night. Go check it out. And if this is for some reason your first podcast you've stumbled upon, normally we're talking comic books, and go to ifanboy.com and check out the Pick of the Week podcast and iFanboy video podcast where we talk comic books all the time. So I guess now we get a little bit of a layoff until next year, I guess, right? There are no other comic book movies that I know of. So.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah.
No, there's There's Persepolis, the animated movie. That's
oh,
out.
Right, yeah. Oh, interesting. Is that getting a theatrical release?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
It was cool. The festivals.
Well, we'll look into it. All right, so hope you guys enjoyed the movie. Be sure to go to ifanboy.com, and there'll be a there's a post about this podcast. So you can tell everybody what you thought of 30 Days a Night, what you thought of the movie. If you're a fan of it, let us know. And until you know our next week's pick of the week, I'm Ron.
I'm Josh.
I'm Connor.
I was afraid of the cell phone delay.
All right. East London is a vampire. It sucks the joy right out of me. Halloween love. Shining these golden years. Our parents, they saw nothing. Live a dream like the 80s never happened. People are afraid, to merge.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.